Hey everybody, this is Joe. I just wanted to pop in here before we start to let you know that we are testing out some new microphones and new recording technology over here on the podcast, and the result has been audio quality that I'm not 100% thrilled with. So we know that there are kinks. We are working to iron them out. It doesn't sound as good as it usually does, but we promise we're going to figure it out and we're going to get you better sounding episodes in the future. But in the meantime, this episode is full of amazing stuff and you're not going to want to miss it. I just wanted to pop in here and let you know to stick with us. We will be improving. We are always learning, always growing, and we appreciate you guys for being here.
Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After 3 vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're 2 adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin.
What is up, everybody? It is Mary Ellen back on the Wonderland on Points podcast. We are so excited that you are here today because we are talking about cruises.
Yes, we are. And this is Joe, our resident cruiser of this duo. And today we are going to have Ryan back on from Profits and Points because he is a cruising expert and he's going to give you all of the tea on how to potentially use points for cruises, how to save money on cruises, the best time to book, and also how to earn a lot of points by cruising. And it was a great episode, and I'm so excited for you guys to hear it. But first, Mary Ellen, checking in on your week.
My week has been filled with looking for hotels and planning trips that I may or may not ever go on because I constantly am planning fun things. I'm like, kids, would we rather go to Paris or would we rather go to Japan? Showing them pictures and trying to figure out where we want to go. But on a less exciting note, I have been spending the last 24 hours looking at hotels and learning something that could be helpful to someone out there, even though it is not a fun topic. So my father-in-law is actually very, very sick and in the hospital. And so my husband is about to travel several states away. And I have been thinking, how can travel hacking help us? Like, you've got to get a place to stay. So, and I have learned that most large hospital systems will have special rates at hotels near the hospital. So I've been calling various hospitals, and online, this hospital is in a big city that is very expensive. So at first glance, looking at hotels, I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be intense because you've got to go, want you to go, but this is going to cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that, okay, maybe with these special rates, and it is a fraction of the cost. So if anybody out there finds themselves in a situation where you need a hotel at the last minute for something medically related because a loved one is in the hospital, make sure to check that out because that could save you some money and help, you know, take away some of the financial burden during that hard time of someone being in the hospital. So that is what we've been doing today. Joanna, what have you been up to this week?
Well, I first of all want to say I'm really, really sorry to hear about your father-in-law. That's so, so difficult, I know, on everybody involved. But that is an incredible tip about the hospitals. I have never heard that before. So amazing. Thank you for sharing that with everybody. I feel kind of weird talking about what I've been doing this week on because it's like such a stark contrast to that.
No, we all about fun. This is going to be a fun episode.
It is a fun episode.
Things happen. I didn't want to not share that because I think it can be helpful for people, but it is also helpful to hear about your week. So tell us. Tell us what you were doing.
Okay. Well, I think I've mentioned that we are going to Universal. In June. What I have not mentioned is, well, maybe I have. Now I can't remember. I bought our Universal tickets on points. They were running a deal. They still are until March 13th. So if you're hearing this, you can still get this deal. It is good for cash, but it is also good for the portal Booking with Points. And it is buy 2 days, get 2 days free at Universal Studios. And this is a...
You saw that in the Chase portal.
I sure did. Yes. Yeah. So if you go to the Chase Travel portal and you're searching under Explore Travel and you put in the dates you want to go and Orlando, Florida, for some reason, when I put in Universal Studios, it's not popping up. But when I'm putting in Orlando, it's very far down. It's like the fifth or sixth page of results, which is weird. You would think it would be right up at the top. I think this is also how you find Disney.
To find. My friend messaged me. Thankfully, Joe, you had experience with this because a friend of mine DM'd me looking because she's like, I know that I can buy Universal tickets through the portal, but mm-hmm. how can you find it? And thankfully, you had already given me that heads up that you have to keep on scrolling. When you think you've scrolled far enough, keep on scrolling.
Yes, it's true. And I think that could deter people because you would think that the biggest things that you can book on there would be right at the top, Disney, Universal, but no, you have to dig for them. It is weird. Yeah. As a cautionary tale for anybody that's trying to book right now while they're running this buy 2 days, get 2 days free, which by the way, you have to buy the 2 day to park tickets, which okay. means that you get to go to Universal and the Island of Adventure, which is the Hogsmeade section of the Harry Potter world for anybody that's curious. I've never been. I'm so excited. Anyways, okay. So it says buy two park 2 day tickets, get two free. That is what it says. It says it very clearly. So naturally, when I'm going to the page where I'm checking out, and I think I'm going to wait till a later episode to do a breakdown of everything I spent on all of this in terms of points, because I think it will fit into a whole episode, my Universal adventure. So I'm going to just hold out on that. But there are options. It says 2 day one park tickets, and then it says 3 day one park tickets. Then it says two park 2 day, three park two park 3 day. So naturally I click on the two park 2 day ticket because that's what it told me I needed to buy in order to get 2 days free. And once I clicked through, I was starting to feel very nervous because I saw no other mention of the free days. Oh. It was like after that first page, it was gone. And I was like, okay, well, maybe once I buy it, something will come in the email that will say, here's your free days. Okay, well, that did not happen. And I took screenshots of absolutely every part of this process because I was feeling
that's smart.
My sense was firing that something was not quite right, but I didn't know how else to go about this besides doing what I was already doing. So I booked it. Got all the confirmation emails and everything, and nothing ever came about my two free days. So I called and I was like, help, please, what's happening? And this was on a Friday that I called, and the woman did some digging for me. And after about 45 minutes, she was like, I have been informed by the Viator people that you did not scroll far enough down and pick the correct option. It turns out that below all of those 2 day tickets, 3 day tickets, one park ticket, two park tickets, all the way down near the bottom was an option that said two park 2 day plus 2 days free that you were supposed to click.
Oh my gosh.
Never would have occurred to me. And it is on a phone screen, especially because I was doing this on my phone. It's a far scroll. And I thought, oh, logically, these are just going to keep going up. 2 day tickets, 3 day tickets, 4 day tickets. I stopped at the 2 day. I thought that's what I was supposed to buy. Who would ever want to only buy 2 days and not get the 2 days free? I don't get it. So it was a Friday and she's like, I can't get a hold of the Viator people. So I'm going to work on this for you. I'm going to try to get back with you next week and see if they'll issue you a voucher for your two additional days. I called back at the end of the following week because I hadn't heard anything. I was on the phone again for 3 hours While she went to bat for me, this woman's name was Carla. She was an angel. She was a supervisor. Shout out to Carla. Seriously, woo-hoo. Carla, shout out. I even asked her for like her supervisor's email address so that I could email the rave reviews for Carla. Aww. Because she was so helpful and she went to bat for me and did everything that she could to try to get me these vouchers. Unfortunately, when all was said and done, Viator's like, we cannot issue you these free days. Everything is automated. When you click it, it just sends one out. There's no way to manually create one of these. And the problem was, they said, we will let you cancel this even though it's non-refundable, which people need to know. These tickets are not refundable after you buy them through the portal. They said, even though it's not refundable, we will let you cancel and rebuy. But the issue is, the price had gone up. It was 5,000 more points, which I know is not the end of the world, but it was 5,000 more than what I had paid for them. And that is annoying because, first of all, it was already a huge points redemption. Personally, I think it's still totally worth it to get 4 days at Universal Studios for two people, but to spend 5,000 more when I didn't do anything wrong except not know that you're supposed to scroll down to the bottom of the page. It's so annoying. Hurt. And poor Carla did everything she could to avoid me having to do that. Ultimately, I did just have to cancel. And here's the other thing. Luckily, I had a big stockpile of points because it takes 2 billing cycles, which is almost 2 months, for your points to come back into your account. So I had to rebuy the tickets with my stockpile. So now my stockpile is very depleted and it's going to be
a little scary. So your points aren't back yet. You're just having to wait.
Yeah. So they are just in limbo for 2 months. So if anything great comes up that I want to book, I don't have that many points left to do it with. I need another card, even though I'm taking a break right now from cards.
Yeah. Hey, so it's worth noting, this brought up, so the moral of that story is to scroll. When you think you can't scroll anymore and you're looking for Universal tickets, keep scrolling. But you brought up a good point about with your points stuck in limbo, having less of your Chase stockpile of points. Mm-hmm. You guys may have seen on my Instagram, on others' Instagram, that Hyatt just came out with their new category changes for some of their hotels for the coming year. And those go into effect later this month, later in March. And so if you do have a stockpile of points, it is worth looking over that list of hotels that are changing category because most of them are popular hotels that are going to get more expensive. But if you have a Chase stockpile right now, you can lock those in at the lower price before they change categories.
Yes.
And cost more points. So I encourage everyone, if you think that you may want to stay at a Hyatt hotel in the coming months, all the Washington, D.C. hotels, several of the popular San Diego hotels, the Hyatt Place, Panama City, those are all ones that are changing categories. And so take a look at that list. And if you do have a stockpile, if you don't have a stockpile of points, don't stress over it. This happens. Hotels change categories. But if you do have a stockpile of points, it may be a good idea in the next week or two to go ahead and book trips for the rest of this year and into 2025 to lock in a lower price.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is why we say earn and burn. Don't be afraid of spending your points. Don't be afraid of depleting your stockpile. There are always more to be had. Remember to utilize the player too if you can to do a little back and forth referring, and that will help, especially if you're in, you know, a non-card period right now, like I am. I am actually considering referring my player too for his very first card, which will be the Chase Sapphire Preferred, hopefully when that elevates in April, if that happens. Yes. Of course, that is after the devaluation of Hyatt. So that needs to be in by March 26th if you're going to book those. That is the day that the price increase happens. But like Mary Ellen said, if you can't or you miss it, it's okay. There are still a million great Hyatts. Hyatt is still an incredible value even with the devaluation. So it's going to be okay. And I don't know what you think, Mary Ellen, but I think we should let everybody listen to the interview with Ryan right now.
Let's jump in.
We are so excited to have our very first two-time guest.
Woo!
You guys, woohoo! You may remember our Amex Platinum episode with Ryan Horn from Profits and Points, and he is back to talk about another specialty of his, and that is cruises. Oh my gosh, the number of times people have asked me, how can I save money on cruises? How can we do this with cruises? And I am not an expert. I have famously talked about how I'm terrified to go on a cruise. But Ryan, you are an expert. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Before we start, can I ask, why are you terrified of cruises?
She's watched Titanic too many times.
I really don't know what it is. I do think it's something about being on a ship in the middle of the ocean. Like if something goes down, I have no way to escape. But it's like completely irrational. So I'm hoping to get over it. I do get nauseous. I get seasick, but can be dealt with, you know, patches, medication, but something about being, and you would think an airplane, you're up in the sky over the ocean, you know, flying internationally. So that should probably freak me out more, but I don't know.
Honestly, I am the same. When I went on a cruise for the first time, it was about 24 hours of fear. And then I kind of forgot. And I was like, okay, I got this. And then I became a lifelong cruise lover.
You all would be terrified then of a cruise I'm doing next year. I am doing the Titanic cruise on a brand new ship Southampton, UK.
Can I tell you a like little story that has to do with this? Okay. So me and my fiance have been together for almost 11 years, and people kept asking, when are you going to get engaged? We got engaged last year, by the way. Well, his plan prior to COVID was to take me on the Titanic that was being built at the time, but then it got canceled. Like it got pushed off because of COVID. And so he knows that I'm obsessed with the movie. I'm obsessed with the ship. I'm obsessed with the history. I like the museums. I like it all. And so that was his plan, is to take me on there and to do this big epic Titanic proposal on the Grand Staircase. But then he just felt really bad waiting like years and years and years. So he, you know, we did it in a little cabin in the woods and it was beautiful. But I have never heard anybody else that wants to go on that ship, and I cannot believe you're doing that, and I'm so jealous.
Well, to be fair, I didn't realize it was the Titanic cruise. It's a brand new ship for Norwegian Cruise Line, and there are shipyards over there, I think, and they're just moving it over to the U.S. for their sailing so that they can bring it down to Miami to do those kind of Caribbean sailings, and it's the first one, so we booked it, and then we realized after that it was the same route as the Titanic. It's just 7 straight sea days.
Oh, okay. So, but it's not the replica.
No.
Because they are building one of those.
That is the first time I had heard of that. Okay. And that sounds awful. I mean,
sounds amazing. There were rumors that you would be allowed access to like costumeries to pick out actual period costumes so you could really get into the vibes. That is, you know, right up my nerd/theater alley. So maybe if that doesn't sound good for you, it's good that that's not what you're doing. But you're going the exact route.
Yes. And this ship is newer than I'm assuming the replica is. There's a go-kart track on top. So a little bit more to do than I'm sure there is on the replica.
It's probably true. What is this, the very first time anything has gone that route since the sinking?
No, I think they do it pretty often.
Oh, all the time. Okay.
There are shipyards over there, so they build some ships over there. Gotcha. And then when they move them to the U.S., they just bring it across. So,
okay. I honestly think that if it was the first time, that would make me a little bit panicky.
Very panicky.
Mary Ellen says very.
No, thank you. But I can't wait to see your Instagram pictures and videos when you do it.
I think I'm going to get sick of being on the ship by day 4. I've never done that many sea days back to back.
Of sea days. Yeah. Do you have motion sickness?
I do on small boats, but on cruise ships, I've never felt it. So.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. I definitely did first day on my last cruise, but you know, that's what drugs are for. So it's fine.
What drugs are for. Well, let's get started with the biggest question that I feel like people have right off the bat, and then we'll dig a little deeper, but are there any we're so used to traditional points and miles where we get credit cards, we get the sign-up bonus, we transfer them to airlines, hotels, and that's how we save so much money traveling with credit card points. But are there any credit cards that transfer points to cruise lines?
Kind of. That's a tough one. And I think that's why cruising has not been particularly popular in the points and miles community before, because outside of transferring points over to Virgin, so you can book with Virgin Voyages, there really isn't a traditional transfer from a credit card point over to a transfer partner. Capital One, you can use the purchase eraser to kind of knock out some of the expenses. Like I said, you can transfer over to Virgin Voyages. But outside of that, I recommend typically that points and miles are used for the flights there and from, as well as the hotel the night before. Now, that being said, there are other credit card tricks you can take advantage of, and there are plenty of other tricks to save money on cruises other than points and miles. So
I want to hear all the tricks. Have you seen United cruises?
I have, and there are similar ones with other brands too. My favorite is American Express, actually, cruises.
Okay, so United Cruises, when you're poking around in their website, they have a pay with points option. Is that not the same points current? Like if you transferred points to United, could you book a cruise with those credit card points? I haven't dug around into this very much. I just looked at the website a little bit.
Yeah, you theoretically could, but it's almost never a good deal. I've never really seen it where it's worth using points for a cruise or airline miles rather over just using it for a flight. So
I get
recommend. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think I saw a 3-day cruise, which doesn't feel like enough to me ever. A 3-day cruise, and I saw it at like 32,000 points per person. And I was trying to think of like, if you're thinking of all your food and kind of 3 days of enjoyment, like, I don't really know how that one to me, it doesn't matter what the cents per point is so much as like what's the overall value of what you're getting. And I'm not sure 3 days is enough. There were a lot of like 5-6 day cruises, but those were like in the 100,000s. So I don't know. I want to be able to book a cruise on points very badly.
Well, Virgin does let you book with Virgin points, and they occasionally have some really, really, really good deals.
Oh, do they?
I know last year they had like 50,000 points for 7 days in the Greek Isles. So they have occasional bonuses like that that are definitely worth transferring points over to them in order to book a cruise. So, but that's pretty much the only time I would suggest redeeming points on a cruise.
Okay.
In addition to other money saving methods, though, cruises are great ways to earn points. And we can talk a little bit more about that in a little bit too.
Okay. Well, start in on the money saving tips then. Like maybe just give us your spiel. I know that you've talked about this at Travel More, which, by the way, we will all be at, in case you guys want to come say hello.
I think the biggest thing is flexibility with cruising, right? Same thing with hotels and airlines, right? Flexibility, flexibility, flexibility. The more flexible you are, the cheaper fares you're going to find. It's how people retire on cruise ships because they remain completely flexible. And the reason that you can sometimes find cruise fares that are cheaper than just living life and paying a mortgage or rent. So
that sounds so amazing.
Crazy. Yeah. But I see those. I see articles about those retirement cruises.
For sure. I mean, I guess the biggest things to keep at the back of your mind is cruising in off seasons. So September to around May, summertime are generally the busiest. They're going to be the most expensive. Booking in advance as well. Many cruise lines like Norwegian, for example, will refund you just like Southwest Airlines does if the price of your flight drops after booking it. And they'll give you a credit or a your points back. Many cruise lines will do the same thing, and they'll refund you either through onboard credit or they'll refund your credit card if the price of your cruise drops. All you have to do is call them. Just make sure to read the terms and conditions ahead of time, because it varies from cruise line to cruise line. So booking in advance, booking on those off seasons. And then there's this thing called wave season, and that's the season from around January to right now, around March. And that's typically when cruises are the cheapest to book for the entire year. And that's just because during the winter, not many people are thinking about cruising yet. It's generally more in the spring, summer when people are searching for those. So it's kind of like the Black Friday season of cruises at the beginning of the year. So it's a really great time to book a cruise. And then one other kind of basic tip about timing is repositioning cruises. So mm-hmm. a repositioning cruise is when they're moving the ship from one place to another. So the cruise I talked about earlier, where they're moving the ship from Southampton, UK over to the US, that's much, much cheaper than a typical route on that cruise. I found a 14-day cruise I'm looking at right now. Oh, actually, it's a 21-day cruise on the Norwegian Encore for $1,400. So that's less than $100 a night.
It sounds so cool.
It goes from Seattle, Washington, all the way over to Miami. So you're going through the Panama Canal. Why are they doing that? There isn't a lot of demand for the Panama Canal.
Gotcha.
But they're moving the ship over between seasons, so they
might. How do you locate a repositioning cruise? Like, how do you know that is what it is?
Yeah, you just kind of have to search. Typically, the beginning point and the end point are different. So,
gotcha.
You're typically getting on the ship and getting off the ship in two different places.
Interesting. Is there a place that you go to search for cruises, or do you start with a specific cruise line, or are there, or, you know, I don't know if Expedia or any of those like flight and hotel searchers also do cruises, or if there's something similar for cruises, but I would love to know how you begin the process when you're like, I might want to take a cruise.
For sure. I typically look through the individual websites. I know that's old school, but there are only a few major brands. It's not like looking for redemptions for flights, right? Where you have 30 different airline websites to go to. So typically I do individual websites and compare that way. But the thing you just said about Expedia or a third party like that, while I don't recommend ever booking through those, that's actually a great way to do it as well, is just to look and browse through those. Mm-hmm. One I sometimes use is American Express. They have a cruise program, and I love that program. They have a cruise privileges program, and if you have an American Express Platinum, which we talked about last time, when you book a 5-night plus cruise, you'll get onboard credit from American Express, typically $100 to $300, and then additional amenities. So bottle of champagne in the room, I believe, comes if you book a Royal Caribbean cruise. If you book Norwegian, you get a dinner for two at their specialty French restaurant, La Bistro, and so much more. So
that's so fun, because it's kind of like the Amex Fine Hotels and Resorts, but for cruises.
Absolutely.
That's really neat. Is that only through Amex Platinum, not Amex Gold?
Correct. That's only through Amex Platinum and the Amex Centurion card. But if you're you have an Amex Centurion card, I'm guessing you're not hammering for $100.
You're not trying to travel back this.
That has me wanting to add cruising to my long list of potential honeymoon locations. It's getting out of control, you guys.
You're never going to go on a honeymoon because you can't decide.
Because I can't choose. It's true. It's a problem.
I have a multi-moon.
Ryan, a multi-moon.
Multi-moon. Love that.
Ryan, which cruise lines are your favorite? So you mentioned Virgin. You've mentioned Norwegian, Royal Caribbean. Which one, if for someone who really does not know the difference, if I was to get brave and do this, which one is your go-to?
Honestly, whichever one is the cheapest and whichever one I can get the best deal for. I mean, each cruise line, people do have pretty strong loyalties in the cruise game because each of them have their own kind of vibe. So Virgin, adults only, younger crowd, Royal Caribbean, lots to do on the ship, right? Mm-hmm. They have the promenade with shopping and all that. And then they have zip lines on the Lido deck and all that. Norwegian has really good specialty dining. So I try not to remain a loyalist in here just because, just like airlines and hotels, typically when you're loyal, you're walking away from better deals. So I try to stick to better deals. But each cruise line has its own thing, and people do tend to be very, very loyal. As the Royal Caribbean crowd would say, loyal to royal.
I noticed you didn't mention Carnival, which I've heard referred to as the Walmart of cruises, which I find rude. I like Carnival too, and I like Walmart too. Yes, but Carnival has been my cruising experience, and it was great. I thought it was a really fun experience, but a lot of people do talk about it as being like lower budget. But it's interesting because you and I were chatting about how, you know, the best deals are found this time of year. And you were telling me to check out Norwegian. And I was shocked that the Norwegian cruises I was finding were way cheaper than the Carnival cruises and came with a lot more perks. Like, you book now and you get a free child and free onboard Wi-Fi and like all this crazy stuff. But the last time I cruised, we paid for Wi-Fi and it was abysmal. It was completely pointless.
The Norwegian is very deceptive with that free Wi-Fi promotion. You get like 50 minutes of Wi-Fi. If you forget to disconnect, it's gone. So Norwegian does have the best drink package promotion in the game, in that everyone basically gets a drink package without having to pay for it. You pay for gratuity. But yeah, they have this thing called Free at Sea. It includes that 50 minutes, 70 minutes, whatever, of Wi-Fi that you're talking about. It comes with a free specialty dining or two or three, depending on the cabin you book and the sailing. And then everyone typically gets a base drink package, which is pretty giving for
cruise line. I told a story on our last episode about how I did not realize how fast cruise drinks added up on a cruise I took about 12 years ago. And on the last day when we got our bill slid under the door and saw that it was a $750 drink bill, I almost had a heart attack. So that's where they get you, to be honest. I always felt like that's how cruises can afford to basically charge nothing, is because they know everybody's going to get on board and buy a bunch of drinks and it's really going to add up. So the free drink package, I'm here for that. I'm not even a big drinker. I sound like I just love to drink, but on a cruise, always. It's just the right thing.
It brings up a question for me, because in my mind, cruises were always like all inclusive. But I was reading an article today online that says, well, you can get all of these great cheap deals, but he was equating cruise lines to kind of like Spirit Airlines, where you get a low price, but then it's because they're going to upsell you and charge you for all of these other things. So at first glance, it looks like, oh, it's going to be so cheap. And then they're like, oh, do you want this package and this package and this? And it just kind of adds up. So what do you have to pay for? If I get on one of those cruises with my kids that has, you know, the water slides and the zip line that you mentioned, or go-karts, you know, all the cool things that they have, are those activities included? Is that something I'm going to end up having to pay extra for?
It depends. Yeah, they do make a lot of money. I don't have the exact source on this, so do not quote me on this, but I remember reading at one point that cruise lines typically take a loss when you buy a fare, right? And they end up making money by you being on the cruise line. So everything from drinks, drink packages, specialty dining, events like that. But their big money maker is the casino. That is where I think most cruise lines make a substantial portion of their money. And we can talk about how you can manipulate that later
yes,
on
please.
As well. Yeah, we can talk about it now too.
Just get into it. Let us take us where it wants to go.
Hey guys, we're going to get right back to the rest of this episode, but before we do, we have a request.
Look, if you've ever gotten any value from this show and you want it to continue to grow and to continue to serve you and have access to bigger and more knowledgeable guests, if you could leave us a rating and a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, that would be completely amazing.
These ratings and reviews go such a long way into attracting new podcast listeners and helping us bring guests
guest on the show. It makes us so excited to hear how we are helping all of you reach your travel goals.
It really does. And if you're feeling up to it, take a screenshot of your review after you post it and share it to your own Instagram. And don't forget to tag us at Wonderland on Points Podcast. We would love to reshare it in our own stories.
Yes, we sure would. And if you haven't already, go ahead and leave that rating and a review right now. Okay, let's get back to the show.
So free cruises, just to jump into it, how to get a free cruise. Typically, there are a few different ways to get a free cruise, and that's usually by spending a lot of money, usually in the casino. So a lot of people who gamble a lot in the casino end up getting, oh, you can get a free cruise and we'll pay for everything, because they're betting on you coming in and losing your money in the casino. However, you can actually status match your way to getting some of these offers, and you don't even need to be a gambler. One of my favorite ones that has been working recently is through the Wyndham Business Rewards card. So the Wyndham Earner Business Credit Card will give you Wyndham Diamond status. That diamond status can then be matched to Caesar's Diamond status. Caesar's Diamond status is a casino status, which people have matched over to Carnival, which has gotten people a free 7-day sailing on Carnival. Holland America at one point was giving out free 12-day Holland American cruises for having Caesar's Diamond status. So they probably won't invite you back and give you a second one if you're not actually gambling on these. But there is a there's definitely ways to status match your way around to get free cruises by making them think that you're a gambler.
That is wild. I don't know hardly anything about status matching. People talk about it all the time. I have to be honest, I don't quite understand it because I don't have status anywhere. So so you would open that credit card, and then is it just kind of like a online process to go about grabbing your status matches at all those places?
Yeah, and I'll caveat by saying the blog Frequent Miler and then the Miles Talk blog have up-to-date instructions for the casino matches to cruises, because these are constantly changing. So if you're listening to this right now, what I'm saying may be outdated. So definitely go check there first to make sure it's the latest up to date and what you can actually match to with cruise lines. But typically you would either go online, or sometimes with the casinos, especially, you may have to go in person to a casino, but typically it's online. I know with matching a Carnival has an online form. I think it's called like the Carnival Fun Match form or something. And you just go there and provide your credentials and they'll send you your free cruise.
Wow. I picture myself like walking around from casino to casino in Las Vegas. Please will you match me? Please will you match me? I didn't even think about doing it online, because I feel like when I've heard people talking about it, they're in Vegas and like going hopping around to casinos doing the matching.
Yeah, I mean, some casinos do require that, but and there's benefits to the casino statuses too. I don't go to casinos a lot, so I'm not really sure of what they are, but I do know there is a route there to get a free cruise, so, or two or three.
Okay, I'm going to definitely have to look into that. We tried to avoid the casinos on the cruise ship because my fiance loves a quarter machine. We never do any kind of casinos or gambling or anything when we're at home. But as soon as we're on a cruise ship, I'm like, where did he go? Oh, I know where. And I find him at the quarter machine in the casino. And those things will eat your money real fast.
And I lied to you earlier. I said I don't like a casino. I like a quarter machine. I love a quarter machine.
Well, I mean, so they are that dopamine rush. Look, I take kids to, there's a local like pizza buffet place that has a big arcade. And there is a quarter machine in that kids arcade, and that thing, I could stand there watching people play for hours. I don't know what it is about those quarters falling over the edge that's like, love it. Absolutely love it. It's a problem.
If you are into cruise line quarter machines, definitely check out YouTube videos about the quarter machines and how they win, because That'll convince you not to do it as much because there are little flots along the side where the quarters are falling over. So it actually takes a lot more than you think to push them forward because they're kind of dipping off on the sides. But I'm still attracted to it. I see the lights and I'm still...
They design it that way.
Part of getting some quarters, even though I know
purpose.
That it's rigged against me.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Well, they know. They know it's irresistible. But actually, I am going to look into those YouTube videos because that stuff fascinates me. I'm always telling the kids not to play the claw machine games. I'm like, you guys, don't you understand? The claw only grabs with strength like every 300 times. Nobody believes me. They won't listen.
My very first cruise, not to get too off topic, but in the casino, they had a claw machine. And inside the claw machine were just stacks of cash, like several hundred dollars. And I took advantage of my free Norwegian drink package that day. And I awoke to a $200 bill spent at the claw machine.
Stop
the night
it.
Before. I didn't win anything. So.
A lot of people waking up to bills on these cruise ships. So I think I might
be just
even more
realized.
Afraid.
I just realized why they give you the free drink package. It's all clicking. I see now. That's what's going to happen. They give you free drinks. You spend $200 in 30 minutes at the casino. Now it makes sense. It took me a minute.
Ryan, you were talking about, okay, so we know that it's a little tricky to use points for cruises, but you mentioned earlier that there are great ways to earn points because sometimes on vacations and trips, we concentrate, you know, you do the math, figure out what you can do, but sometimes it's just a better idea to earn points. So in what ways should we look out for earning points on cruises?
For sure. So first suggestion is to charge everything to your room, including the claw machine, because everything will code as travel typically when you get that final bill. So if you have a built MasterCard, 2 times on travel, Chase Sapphire Preferred, 2 times on travel, Chase Sapphire Reserve, 3 times on travel. So you're getting those multipliers. So charge everything to your room when you're on a cruise ship, because you can take advantage of that travel category. Mm-hmm. If you're using an Amex card, there's really, really often Amex offers. I'm looking at one right now on my computer. Spend $1,000 or more on Carnival, get 25,000 membership rewards points.
Wow.
So you just
wow.
have to remember to go to Amex to add those offers to your card, but they have cruise offers quite a bit.
And just then, to like put that into perspective, because I don't want to gloss by that. You said spend how much? Spend $1,000?
$1,000.
And mm-hmm. you get 2,500 points?
25,000.
25,000. That's what I thought you said. And think about it. 25,000 points, we have well established on the podcast, can get you a flight to Paris from the East Coast or all over. Like, that's kind of a big deal. Like, $1,000, you go on a cruise, that's easy to spend on a cruise. And now you've got yourself another flight for another vacation. Like, that's huge.
Absolutely. 100%. So, yeah, check those Amex offers. And then there are other offers through other services too, like Flues. If you've ever heard of Flues, where you can buy gift cards, they'll have discounted gift cards every now and then. But yeah, just keeping the eyes and ears open for different deals because they're out there with credit cards. And then another way, and then you can cut this out of the podcast if you're not allowed to talk about this, but cruises are prime for manufactured spending too. There is a hack that goes back. I remember seeing it on message boards like 15 years ago about casinos. So typically when you go to a casino on a cruise, you can get chips at the window or at a table and charge it to your room. There's typically an upper limit, but you get chips that get charged to your room, you get the points on that, and you could just bring those chips back to redeem
cash
them.
Them in.
So don't want to go too much deeper on that. I do not encourage manufactured spending unless you know exactly what you're doing. There
yes.
are fees on some cruise lines as well for doing this, so make sure the fees make sense. But yeah, that's a pretty common trick that people use on cruises.
I love that. I love all this kind of stuff. You did say You know, like if we're not allowed to talk about this, we just wanted you to know that you inspired us to go the same route as you. The only reason we changed our name is so that we could have on guests who are following the affiliate rules. And I know that this is not cruise related, so I was hoping at the end we could chat about it a little more because I am very inspired by the decision to be a transparent corner of the travel hacking internet. So we don't have to get into it quite yet, but definitely when we get to the wrap up, somebody don't let me forget that I want to chat about it for a minute.
I want to know, we've talked about how all the cruises, you just prefer to get the best deal, right? So you look around, you'll go with whatever cruise line gives you the best deal. But are there any cruises that you would not do again? Maybe you did once and it was kind of a disaster and you would encourage people to avoid?
No, I wouldn't say there are any cruises that I wouldn't have done the first time, but there are some I wouldn't do again. I think a lot of ports, especially the popular ones, kind of get boring after a while. So I love cruising because I feel like it's the wine tasting of travel, right? And you get to go to a bunch of different places and you're not there for very long, so you can't really immerse yourself in any one place, but you know where you want to go back to in the future, right? And there are some places that I've just been to a bunch that are very common on cruise itineraries, especially in the Caribbean. I don't necessarily need to go to again. I've been there. I've done all the things. I'd rather stay on the cruise ship. So to answer your question, there are none I wouldn't have done the first time, but there are some as a frequent cruiser that I just would rather stay on the ship now than getting off. I think I'm also getting too old for the 3-4 day cruises. Because cruises tend to be booze cruises and the people tend to party a little bit harder. And I enjoy that every now and then, but I think I don't think that's my go-to cruise anymore. I'll say that.
Yeah, I agree. The 3 and 4 day ones are, that's almost exhausting for me. I need to, if I'm going to especially position somewhere to leave from a port and there's going to be a lot of front and back end travel involved, I feel like I need a good 5 to 7 days at least to kind of just relax on the ship. I was going to ask if you prefer tropical locations to cold locations. I know you're doing an Alaska cruise. That's your honeymoon, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm doing Alaska in 2 months.
So. Oh my gosh. Yay! So fun. Have you done cold weather cruises before? I'd love to know how you feel that they compare. Because for me, if you can't like lay out on the deck underneath the sun, that I don't know how I feel about that, but maybe you could change my mind.
I have done cold-ish. I haven't done an Alaska or an Antarctica yet, but I will be doing it later this year. But from my experiences and from talking to others, it's just a different vibe. Like, it's hard to pick one over the other. Like, cold weather cruises typically are not party cruises. Mm-hmm. You don't get to lay on the deck. Typically, more people will get off at ports because it's more about exploring and seeing things. I mean, look at Alaska. Who would not get off the boat
right
on a cruise to Alaska, right?
Very true.
Antarctica, same thing. If you have the chance to get off, like, of course,
you're
going to get
off. Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so it depends. I say people do both because the experiences are very different and I would say not comparable. So
yeah,
it sounds like cold weather cruises are for the old souls of the world, which I identify with as being an old soul. So maybe that should be my starting point.
Have you ever been on a cruise in a storm? The last one I went on, it was calm the entire time, but the last night when we were on our way back, it got really rocky and it was nerve-wracking. It was very scary. It just felt like the ship was going from side to side. I don't think we were ever actually in danger, but it certainly, Mary Ellen, maybe I shouldn't be telling this story.
Go for it.
Anyway,
I'm safe on land right now.
Yes. Well, if you're always looking for the best deals, my assumption is that you're probably maybe sometimes booking in stormy season, which, you know, scary.
I was on one in January. It was my bachelor party. And it was probably two of the most miserable cruise days I've ever had.
Oh, no.
During it because it was stormy. And we were not able to get to our port. So we were kind of just stuck at sea for 2 days. And the positive is they were able to get out into water where we weren't rocking as much. But yeah, that was rough.
Oh, that's such a bummer. I didn't know that about your bachelor party. That's sad. Hopefully you guys were able to make the most of it in some way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So
we talked a little bit about stopping at the ports, and I know that your experience, so sometimes you prefer to stay on the ship, but if you do get off, do you recommend, in terms of saving money, for people to kind of figure out their own excursions or go with excursions that the ship and the, you know, cruise line puts forth to you? Like, what's really the best way to save money and still explore ports and have fun on the cruise?
My question was going to be the exact same, because I've never booked through the cruise. I have always figured out in advance what we would be doing and booked it myself outside of the cruise line. So I'm curious about your experience.
Yeah, there are two completely different thoughts here by people. And you kind of hit the nail on the head there that booking outside of the cruise line is going to be cheaper. Mm-hmm. Typically, you'll also be with a smaller group, so you'll get more intimate experiences on tours. So
okay.
A lot of people opt for that. The reason a lot of people still book with the cruise line is because a lot of people are afraid of getting left by the ship. And if you book an excursion with a cruise, they won't leave you behind. Whereas they will leave you behind if you were late getting back and you something outside of that. So
that is worth considering.
It's also easier to manage if something like back in January when we had a port canceled and we didn't make it. Our excursions, if we booked through the cruise line, immediately got refunded to us. We didn't need to do anything. I would imagine going outside of the cruise line, depending on the company you go through, you may have to jump through some extra hoops. So it's really convenience versus saving money. But you can save a lot of money by going outside the cruise line, and cruise lines do have quite the markup. So
yes, for sure. We did almost miss our ship when we went. I can't even remember what port it was. It was somewhere in Mexico, and there was a big, I don't know, I don't want to call it a theme park, but it had like dolphin encounters and manatee encounters and that kind of stuff. And we went there, explored that, and we were going to do one of these, like you get in the water with the manatees, and the line was crazy, which we didn't know because you couldn't see it when you were booking your tickets. And so it took us forever to actually be able to get in the water. And when we got out of the water, we were cutting it very, very close to take a cab back to the port. We made it, but that level of stress, like the idea that you might be stranded in Mexico, might be worth the money. But the same, I mean, it was literally over $100 more per person to book like their transportation to this location and their excursion. So that's, you know, I love a budget. I love a deal. And it's very hard for me to pass that up. We might not have managed our time very well. But it, yes, good caution to people who are considering saving money. Don't miss your ship. They will leave you behind.
One of my favorite activities on a cruise ship is watching pier runners. I don't know if you have ever done that. Go to the deck and just watch down when the cruise is supposed to be leaving and they're waiting for the last few people just to watch people sprinting.
That is hilarious.
So it's a good time. I enjoy it.
Y'all, I wonder how many people get left behind on any given cruise day. Like people must get left behind all the time.
I think it depends on the port too, right? I mean,
yeah.
I would imagine some of the more party atmospheres of ports, people are more likely to get left behind, but they're also probably used to it there and have more ways to do it. But yeah, it would suck to be left behind, because typically what happens is they go into your room, they get your passport out of the safe. If it's in the safe, they meet you on the dock if the ship's already left, and said you can either get to the next port on your own dime or meet us back where we started. So
When
they will go into your room and get your passport for you because they know you're not back on the ship, and just
typically,
like
they're not just going to leave you there without your passport. So
yeah, they, well that takes a lot of
for you.
Yeah, Because that would be my biggest fear. Like, now that you mention it, I'm like, oh, wow, not only are you left somewhere, but you're in another country potentially with no passport. That's very interesting. Okay.
Horrifying. I'm going to, next time I go on a cruise, I always have sleepless nights about like missing flights and stuff, but missing getting back on a cruise sounds way worse in every possible way. Do you have any crazy cruise memories, like stories that we absolutely have to know before we wrap up?
Aside from my claw machine experience, no, I mean, I enjoy cruising so much. I have so many stories. I don't want to tell you just one. How about instead of a story, I give you one more kind of trick.
Yes. Give it.
Yep. So onboard credit is something that is pretty easy to come by before a cruise. Mm-hmm. There are lots of different techniques. We talked about the American Express program earlier. They'll give you onboard credit. One of my favorite ones is the major three. So Carnival, Royal Caribbean, and Norwegian have a cruise line stock program, shareholder benefits. If you own 100 shares in your portfolio of Carnival, Royal Caribbean, or Norwegian stock, you can submit proof of that to the company before your cruise, and they'll give you onboard credit for free, ranging anywhere from $50 to $150, $200, depending on the cruise line and the length of your sailing.
Wow.
And if you do not want to have 100 shares of Royal Caribbean in your stock account because they are a hurting industry, uh-oh, you can buy that 100 shares, get your proof, submit it, and then sell that 100 shares. So it's not like you have to hold on to it. So
little hacky hack.
Yeah. I was going to ask how that stock is doing before I went any further down that. So, okay, not doing well, but we can hack it. It's fine.
I think that you have mentioned this before, Ryan, sometime I've heard you say that if you book, I think it was in our MX Platinum episode, if you book another cruise at the end of a cruise that you're on, a lot of times that is a great way to save money on your next cruise, that you can get a big discount.
Yes. And oftentimes you don't even need to book a full cruise. You can buy cruise credits. I would only recommend this if you know you're going to become a regular cruiser. But Norwegian, for example, they had a promo on my last cruise that if you bought $1,000 worth of cruise credits, you would get $1,000 worth of cruise credits.
Whoa.
So for paying $1,000 to get these credits that you have to use within the next 5 years, you got $2,000. So yeah, booking on a cruise ship is highly recommended if you know you're going to be cruising again.
That's pretty good, though. $1,000 for $2,000 in 5 years. So it's not even like within the one next year. You have 5 years to do it. That's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, if you play your cards right, I feel like you could take 3 cruises for that amount, especially some of the deals that I was looking at during that like window of time that you said was the best time to book. So that sounds incredible.
Have you ever made, I was reading on Instagram today, there was a travel hacker who is about to go on a Disney cruise, which I don't know if you have been in the stage of life to do Disney cruises yet, but so many of our listeners are. And she was saying that you can earn both the sign-up bonus for the Venture X and the Venture card. And so with her family, they were kind of, and I need to find her name. Maybe we can put it in the show notes to give her credit for this idea, because it was not me. But she said to pay for their upcoming Disney cruise, she got a Venture, then she referred her husband, he got the Venture, and then they got a Venture X, and they kind of wiped away all of those credits to pay for their Disney cruise. Have you ever done a sign-up bonus just kind of with cruising in mind in any way? I guess it would have to be Capital One to use the eraser.
Yeah, Capital One would be the one to use. No, but on the Venture X, you get 25,000 points every time you refer someone. And I recently just referred 4 people over the last year for 100,000 Venture points, and I use that to wipe part of my honeymoon away. So
nice.
I know
that's awesome.
I know the hardcore travel hackers out there are very anti purchase eraser because it's not the best bang for your buck. But I mean, I'm saving on my honeymoon. I don't care.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I do think in Even though you can get the sign-up bonus for the Venture and the sign-up bonus for the Venture X, I think if you refer the same person, maybe you only get that 25,000 referral points if it's their first time with Capital One. Have you heard anything about that, Ryan? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. You can only get the referral bonus if you refer someone who has never had a Capital One credit card before.
That's a bummer. I didn't realize that. Chase does not do that. I know because I keep referring all of my people to a bunch of cards, which I enjoy. Okay. Well, this cruising knowledge has made me very happy because I love to cruise and it's been a little while since I've done it. And now I'm kind of thinking, I always say this every end of every episode, I'm like, actually, I've made a decision. This is now what I'm doing for my honeymoon. We better not have anybody else on because this will never end. But Ryan, I want to pivot just a little bit because if anybody follows you and has seen your Instagram, they may know that you have made the decision to not be an affiliate anymore because I guess of the new rules, which if nobody knows what I'm talking about, when you partner with the banks like Chase and you are an affiliate, meaning you can earn money based on referring people for the different cards, you have to follow a very long list of rules that are wild and crazy, involving not being able to say the word hacking, not being able to say any of the names of the cards or show any imagery related to it. And it's just getting a little wild with the rules. And so you decided to buck that system entirely and go off on your own. I kind of feel like you were the leader of a small group of us who are like, yes, transparency is the way that we want to go, rather than having to have people message us to decode our cryptic language. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got to that point? I'm really curious.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things that go into this. So I'll start with the rules you just referenced. Apparently, these rules have been around forever. They just were never enforced until recently.
Interesting.
So, it's less of a new thing, more that people just didn't care until recently. And now the banks are cracking down, Chase specifically. Mm-hmm. For me, I wanted to make my Instagram account and all my content to share with others and help as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Travel for free or next to free. I have a day job. I don't really care about the money. And by having those links, transparency suffers. There are things you're not allowed to talk about. The thing I mentioned earlier about going to the casino and buying chips on a credit card. Yeah, that's like not okay. You can't say Chase anymore. You can't even refer to Chase anymore. You can't say Blue Bank or anything like that.
Yeah,
like,
Paw Patrol.
Yeah, Paw Patrol, Bank, Blue Bank.
Stupid.
It's just not in line with the whole reason I started the account.
Yes.
I know people, and I don't fault anyone for sticking with it. Some people make very, very good money off of it. But for me, I would rather be transparent, be able to talk what I want to talk about. And I would like to get rid of that bias on social media, too. I know there's a big bias out there for credit card, inflated credit card offers. So I won't name a card in particular, but credit card A has an inflated bonus. Suddenly everyone's talking about it because typically that also comes with an inflated commission for getting people to sign up for that credit card. And maybe I don't think it's a great credit card. I don't want to have to be forced to go out there and have this subconscious bias where, oh, I need to talk about this because I need to make money off this latest commission.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to completely rid myself of all that. And I am not saying any of this, again, to shame anyone who still has their credit card links. I think it is a great business move for a lot of people. But for me, it's not a business. It's a
Absolutely.
Passion. It's a hobby. So.
Absolutely. We respect our guests that have come on and do this as a business and choose to be affiliates so much so that we were willing to completely rebrand for them because we love them. But again, I think we feel exactly the same way. We want this to be a space where we feel like we are keeping our own integrity. And to us, it's very important to help as many people as possible, to be transparent. Of course, there's always the desire to monetize when you put this much work in. into something. And I think we work very hard on this, and we work very hard to teach people, but we just feel like that will come when it's meant to, and it's going to be a different route. And we're grateful, I think, to you for just inspiring that conversation, because it's almost like we didn't know that it was an option until we saw you do it. Like, in the back of my head, I always felt like I don't feel totally right bowing to the dictatorship that I feel like Chase is. But I just didn't know that there was even an option if this is the kind of, you know, thing that you want to do long term. And once you did it, I was like, oh, wait, why are we doing this? Why am I writing Blue Bank on all my posts, which isn't even allowed now? It was just so refreshing. And thank you. Thanks for being an example in this space. We appreciate you.
Thank you for the kind words. I think it's going to be interesting, because every spring the Chase Sapphire Preferred typically has an inflated sign-up bonus, or at least they have for the past like three or 4 years. I am excited to see when that inflated sign-up bonus comes out, if people are going to talk about it and recommend it or not, because that is a great credit card that a lot of travel hackers should have. And now that people aren't allowed to talk about it, I wonder what's going to happen. So that'll be a good litmus test for how this space is doing. So,
and I want to clarify with our listeners, because a lot of our listeners are people who want to travel hack for their families. They're not necessarily sharing online. Mm-hmm. If you are looking to get referral points from, you know, referring your friends and family, talking about on your personal Instagram or Facebook about a credit card that you like in hopes of getting referrals for yourself of points, you can say whatever you want. This is specifically talking about people who did this as a business and are affiliates with banks and got cash payments from the banks. We're not talking about personal referral links. So don't feel nervous to say something because you made a personal Facebook post mentioning your Chase Sapphire Preferred. You can still get your referral points.
Yes, that is a really good point. I'm glad you said that, because every link that we recommend, if people choose to use our links right now, those are our personal links. You only get a certain amount per year for each card. So once we are out of personal referral links, Ryan does something really cool, or has at least on his Instagram, where he's used other people's links. I guess you just kind of drew one at random and shared it with everybody. And I love that. And I would love to participate in that the future, because I think we get 5 maybe per card. So, you know, once those are gone, we will probably start posting about doing something similar where we'd love to share our listeners' links so people can use those as well. It's just so fun. I love giving back. I love being transparent. I want this to just be a space where it's just like good vibes. We're here to help. That's all.
So. And hey, I want to point out what Ryan said. Chase Sapphire Preferred, the best, what people call the best beginner card, one of the greatest, kind of the staple travel hacking credit cards, usually in around April, their typical sign-up bonus is 60,000 points for maybe 3,000 or 4,000 in spending. But usually it's mid-April-ish through May that they increase. Last year it was to 80,000 points. So if you are planning your strategies for the upcoming year, keep that in mind, that the Chase Sapphire Preferred, there's a good chance they will elevate that offer pretty soon.
Yes, yes. And that is one that I would recommend with or without any kind of kickback, because if you don't have that, it's going to be very, very difficult to do a lot of the things we talk about, because that is your gateway to the transfer partners. So, Ryan, thank you so much. We
Thank
just
you
appreciate
all.
You being here today. I know we asked on the last episode if you had a fun to follow, so I don't know if you prepared one today, but if you can think of anyone off the top of your head, if you want to throw out somebody else in this space that our listeners should be following, we always love a recommendation.
I was thinking about this before I came on today.
Nice.
And there is an account on Instagram, and he doesn't post a lot anymore, but he does have a Patreon, and he posts a lot of hacks that aren't shared on Instagram typically, because they're things like manufactured spend, things that the banks may frown upon. And his name is Kyle from Pack Your Bag with Points. And approach at your own caution. Definitely do not recommend a lot of tactics that he shares if you are a beginner. Mm-hmm. You definitely have to know what you're doing. But it's an interesting insight into another part of the points and miles world. So
okay, I love that because I get really far down the rabbit hole with the buying groups and all of that kind of stuff. So that is a very interesting one for any of our listeners out there who are like 201 or above. Definitely, as Ryan said, approach all of the level two things with caution. Please don't just go buy $10,000 worth of stuff from a buying group without doing a lot of digging. I think it is a great option for people who don't get into travel hacking because they are scared that they cannot meet minimum spends. Like, there are other ways. They can be risky. Nothing comes without risk. Thank you for that recommendation. We're going to link him up in the show notes, and I'm going to go check out his Patreon because that sounds amazing.
Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. I do feel like I am more prepared to consider the cruise life in the future. I'm going to do it one day. I'm going to do it. You're inspiring me.
Well, if you want to come from Southampton to the U.S. next year, you only have to buy a one-way flight to Europe. So,
not going to do that one.
Marianne, I'll do it with you. I'll hold your hand. It will be okay. All right. Well, maybe you'll want to start with like a 2-3 night cruise, and I'll do it with you, and it'll be okay. We're going to do it.
I feel brave.
Yeah, you can do this. All right. Well, we appreciate you taking time out of your day, especially in the middle of the day, because we know you have a full-time job. So any last thoughts before we let you go?
No. Feel free to reach out if you have any questions about cruising. I love cruising. Or if you want to invite me to a cruise, I'll come along.
Love that. Tell everyone where they can find you.
You can find me mostly on Instagram at Profits and Points, but I'm also on TikTok, Twitter, I guess that's X now, Threads, everywhere else.
The places. Okay. Well, Ryan, thank you so much. And we'll let you get back to your day. And we can't wait to have you on again because you are our favorite two-time guest and you're just a wealth of knowledge. So why not make it three?
Absolutely. Thank you again, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com and we would be happy to walk you through a free card consultation. That's also a great place to send us all of your comments and questions. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.